the biggest component that people don't do, and it's why people are not buying deals and they're not breaking through, is you have to relentlessly attack these broker interactions. Okay. So what I did before I had any track record, I had no business partner, I barely knew anything. I started cold calling all these brokers, put on a suit, go meet with them in person, all the top brokers in the space that I wanted to be in. And I would tell them what my criteria was. And I was terrified, by the way. I was very nervous. You know, my hands are shaking. I try not to show it because it's very intimidating.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Zach Haptonstall is a multifamily syndicator in Phoenix, Arizona. And since February of 2019, they have taken down over $700 million in multifamily assets. With another, I think, what'd you say, $300 million on the books here to close here shortly. Zach, welcome to the show. I'm really looking forward to this call today.
Hey, what's up, Sam? Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it, man. Look forward to providing some value for the listeners here today.
Absolutely. You guys have had meteoric growth here in the last, I guess, 3 years. There's three questions, speaking of 3 years, that I ask every guest who comes on the show. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah. So I'll try to summarize as best I can. So I was born and raised here in Phoenix, lived here my entire life, you know, just come from like a lower middle class family, you know, didn't have anybody, no family in real estate, no rich uncle or anything like that. I have a journalism degree. So I was a live news anchor, sports reporter for Arizona PBS for a short time, which was cool at first. Then I quickly realized you can't make any money doing that. I needed money. So I had school debt. So I went into, got out of journalism, went into healthcare marketing, working for a hospice organization, worked my way up as director of marketing, and then eventually president and co-owner of a hospice organization. I was making really good money, you know, over 200K a year, got my MBA, bought a house. So by the time I was, you know, 23, I was making more money than both my parents combined, was in a good financial situation, just following the Dave Ramsey plan, killed all my debt, you know, paid for my MBA cash. So I did that for about 4 years and then just got burnt out. You know what I mean? I was just constantly grinding. What have you done for me lately? And wanted to create some type of passive income. And so in January of 2018, I resigned, sold my equity in the company and lived off of savings for well over a year to figure out how to get into multifamily. It was a really tough time for me, you know, mentally, emotionally, try to figure out how to dive into this and not knowing anybody, not knowing anything about, I didn't even know what the word syndication meant, had no real estate contacts. But anyways, 14 months passed, finally bought the first deal, put all my money I had left into it. I met a couple partners. We bootstrapped that thing and closed it with a tenant in common type of structure. And then from there, really was able to catch momentum and start syndicating deals. And so, you know, since then, since February of 2019, when we bought the first deal, which again was about a little over a year after I quit the job, you know, just burning through cash, burning through savings the whole time. We've now acquired 24 assets, all here in the Phoenix Metro across five different cities worth over $700 million, over 3,600 units. We have over another $300 million in our contract to close in the next few months here. And so we've been very fortunate, you know, to kind of build this out and scale it. On the Rise 48 Equity, we have 20 full-time salaried employees that are focused on asset management, investor relations, accounting, and we are now completely vertically integrated with our own property management company, Rise 48 Communities. We have over 70 full-time employees on full benefits on our management company. So we manage all of our own assets, you know, all the leasing, maintenance, on-site management is all of our staff. So we got over 90 employees full-time now across the two companies. And that's given us a lot of control and efficiencies. And we've just been very fortunate and blessed to continue to build the momentum and scale from there. So we've sold five deals so far, Sam, gone full cycle on those. We're in the process of selling an additional five deals. And those are all drastically exceeding expectations. And so that's kind of, you know, our trajectory is just focused here in the Phoenix market and building out the value add multifamily syndication business.
Right, man. That's an intense business. Like that takes not, that's not just an intense business, but it takes incredible organization and planning to not just execute the plan, but also to bring on the people, make sure they're hired and trained and organized in the right way. I mean, have you done this all yourself? Do you have multiple partners? What does that look like?
Yeah, good question. No, not all myself. I have two partners. So I'm the CEO and co-founder. My partner, Bikron Sandhu, is our CFO co-founder. Bikron has an economics degree, CPA, worked at PricewaterhouseCoopers for a number of years as a corporate auditor. So very strong financial analysis background. He's really overseeing all the operations, underwriting deals on the front end. Then we have a third partner, Robert Shefchik. He's our chief construction officer. You know, he has a master's degree in architecture, strong construction background. So among the three of us, you know, we found very complementary skill sets. I'm focused primarily on acquisitions, dispositions, sourcing capital, forming partnerships, you know, overseeing the high level operations. And so in my background, you know, as running a hospice organization with over 110 employees, you know, it was good to give me that experience to kind of manage people. And Bikron really has all the financial analysis and skills like that, is really good at building back office processes. And so, you know, the cool thing is initially it was the three of us doing literally everything. We just hired our first employee last March of 2021. And here we sit in February of 2022. So it's been about 12 months since we hired our first employee. And we've scaled since then. The first 2.5 years, we had no employees because we didn't have revenue to pay anybody to cover that, right? And so we were doing everything ourselves. Like every little nitty gritty detail you can think of, we were doing, just grinding it out, you know, spending 60, 70 plus hours a week. And the good thing is we learned all those details so that we could then start hiring people and training them to do all those roles and start delegating and then build out infrastructure from there. And so, see, that's kind of given us, we really took like a hands-on approach, learned everything from the inside directly. And then from there, we're able to kind of grow the business and build infrastructure.
Yeah, man, that's really, really intense. I mean, tell me about how, you know, the first deal you said was a tenant in common deal. So just, can you break that down for our listeners real quick, and then I have a follow-up question to that.
Yeah. So it was 36 units, $3.5 million here in Central Phoenix. And basically my partner, Robert, and I got under contract. We were each $25K non-refundable for earnest money. And we had planned to syndicate that deal, but you know, 30 days pass, 40 days pass, our money's non-refundable. We talked to all these people who said they were interested in the previous months, and then they're nowhere to be found, right? Because we don't have a track record. It's hard to raise money, you know, contrary to what people say, it's very difficult, it takes time. And so basically, you know, I had burned through a lot of, I had about around 300K that I had relentlessly saved for years and got a pop from the sale in the equity company. So I had about 300K of cash when I quit the job in January of 18. Mm-hmm. I was down to about 165K because I had blown through money, been going to conferences, joined a mentorship program, all this stuff.
Right.
I put 160 in the first deal. So I put all my money in the deal. I had $5,000 left. Robert put about 275 in. We were scrambling. I found a 1031 exchange to bring in about 650, which was a big chunk of it. Then I met Bikron while we were in escrow, our third partner, convinced him to put in 150. And then we found a couple other people to throw in 150. And we bootstrapped it and made it work. And so that's why it was a tenant in common, because we brought in a 1031 exchange. And for those of people who aren't familiar with a tenant in common, very similar to like a JV or a joint venture, but you can bring 1031 exchanges in it or out of it. But we did not do a syndication, and we did not have, you know, any passive investors. And so that was the first experience to get the deal closed. And it was very scary, very stressful, but it gave us a lot of experience, not only going through the acquisition process, but going through the asset management process, you know, renovating the units. I was out there literally managing subcontractors, which I had never done, you know, like chewing out plumbers and asking guys where they're at and things like that. And so figuring that stuff out. So it was good to give us that firsthand experience. And then from there, we were able to kind of continue to learn and grow and scale.
How did you go, or what did you do? Because I mean, that's a common problem that people have, in especially starting out, is the capital raise side of things. I've been talking to somebody here recently. It's like, man, we're a couple hundred grand short on this deal. And I'm like, man, like, that's painful, right? Like, that's really, really stressful when you have a good deal, but not the money to back it up. So tell me, what have you guys changed? You said, okay, we did deal one, 36 units, get the money together, sucked. What did you do in order to make sure you never ran into that problem again?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, honestly, the first 5 to 7 deals were all a scramble. They're tough. I mean, because you're trying to do it, and it takes time, and it's stressful. And every single time you're worried you're going to lose your earnest money if you can't get this money and close. It hasn't been smooth, those first 5 to 7 deals. I mean, the last, you know, 15 deals or so have been pretty automatic now. We're fortunate for that. But it was really, you know, a matter of just continuing to get out there and going to conferences and trying to network and, you know, relying on other people's experience and partnering with them so that you can demonstrate you have a credible track record. But, you know, once we went full cycle, Sam, and sold the first deal, and then, you know, after that started selling multiple deals that we had successfully executed the business plan on, we then started to see a lot of momentum, right? Because the investors that were in those deals, you know, started to see the results firsthand, and then, you know, started to really refer their friends and coworkers and colleagues. Because again, I didn't have a high net worth network. This was like starting from zero, right? And grinding it out, flying around the country, going to conferences, trying to meet people. I started a meetup event. My wife and I started a meetup event and really tried to build that up. We had over 100 people at one point coming to that. I started getting on podcasts, just like yours, Sam, and, you know, started doing a lot of podcasts. I mean, that helped to generate leads. And then, you know, the biggest thing has been the referrals now from other investors and colleagues. And now we have like a lot of physicians, IT consultants, engineers, and they're referring a lot of their colleagues. And then my wife, Grace, you know, does all of our online marketing, and she's really good with that. So, you know, she runs like my LinkedIn, for example. So we're constantly doing like update videos on the properties and providing content that's SEC compliant. The whole goal of all this content is to drive people to a calendar link to set up a call with me. And these are, you know, vetted leads, qualified investors, so that I can set up these compliant pre-existing relationships to then add them to our investor database. So there's a number of things, you know, we invest in SEO to try to, you know, get our name out there too. So there's a number of things that we've done, but I think, you know, we're fortunate to have my wife, Grace, and then her marketing team. We have a marketing coordinator, Cassidy. They do a lot of stuff online, which drives a lot of leads to us too.
Right, man. Yeah, that's really, really intriguing. As a newer investor, I mean, at this point, yes, you guys have developed a name, you've closed on enough deals, you have industry credibility. What did you guys do coming in to the market that gave both your sellers and your brokers the confidence that you could actually get a deal done?
Yeah, good question. So I think this is the biggest component that people don't do, and it's why people are not buying deals and they're not breaking through, is you have to relentlessly attack these broker interactions. Okay. So what I did before I had any track record, I had no business partner, I barely knew anything. I started cold calling all these brokers, put on a suit, go meet with them in person, all the top brokers in the space that I wanted to be in. And I would tell them what my criteria was. And I was terrified, by the way. I was very nervous. You know, my hands are shaking. I try not to show it because it's very intimidating, right? It's intimidating being in this industry with big buildings, big numbers, and you're so afraid that they're going to kind of figure you out, right? That you're full of it. And I wasn't lying, but I was trying to portray confidence and portray credibility and saying, hey, I come from healthcare. You know, I have a group of investors. We're looking to acquire value add. And what I did was I tried to use whatever I had. So at the time I had a few hundred K of cash. I literally brought a bank statement with me. And at the end of every meeting, I showed the broker, this is my personal cash. I'm going to use this as earnest money. We're going to syndicate the deals, blah, blah, blah. And some of them probably didn't take me seriously and some of them did, but I met with all these brokers. And then it's like, okay, then what? Then what do you do after that? You can't just keep bugging these guys. Well, you need to relentlessly be touring properties. Okay. So you need to get on all their email lists, so you're seeing their deals, and start emailing them and calling them and touring properties and go in there and take notes, ask insightful questions. And I've done this so many times, Sam, where I'll tour properties that we have no interest in buying. I'm doing it simply to get in front of the broker or rekindle the broker relationship, right? And just make that in-person connection. So I viewed it as I was marketing to these brokers, okay? And I always stay in front of the brokers. I run all the acquisitions to this day. Every single week, I'm touring multiple deals. We're sending offers on multiple deals. I have 4 offers to send in the next 2 days, okay? 3 of them are best and final. We'll probably lose all of them. We lose like 95% of the deals we make offers on, but we crank the volume. So you have to constantly stay in front of these brokers. You need to be touring the deals and you need to be submitting LOIs. And I get it, it's scary. And most people probably think, man, I'm not doing this underwriting correctly because my purchase price isn't even close to what they're asking. Right. You might be doing it correctly. The pricing is crazy, right? It's insane. And you have to have a very high level understanding of financial analysis now to compete in these markets across the country. And, you know, for me, I have the MBA, the accounting classes, blah, blah, blah. I underwrote the first few deals, but I hate doing it. I'm not nearly as sophisticated as my partner, Bikron, who has the economics degree, CPA. He likes sitting in front of spreadsheets all day and diving in. So you need to find like an acquisitions person who's really going to be out there in front of the brokers, touring, building those relationships. You have to find an underwriting person. If you're one in the same, more power to you, but you have to be constantly cranking, touring, underwriting, and sending offers. And even if you're 5 million below where their asking price is, just keep sending in the offers, because even if you don't win it, these brokers need to show their sellers that they're getting traction and activity, right? That they're doing something. And so the more offers they get, the more tours they get, that's good. And you're going to stick out to them. So anyways, to answer your question, Sam, the first four deals we purchased were all on the market, fully marketed. We went through best and final, competed. We won the deals. Okay. And the and we had no track record for the first one, obviously, but we put in the offer. We were the highest price. And they took it. You know, what's the broker going to do? It's ultimately up to the seller. And so we closed. That gave us some momentum and credibility to then buy the next couple. You know what I mean? And then you just kind of keep building from there. And now the majority of our acquisitions have been sourced completely off market with no competition for anybody else, directly through broker relationships. So the top, between like the $20 to $70 million purchase price space in Phoenix, we really do get the first look at most of these deals from the top five, six brokers in the market. You know, it doesn't mean we can win them all or we pass on a lot of stuff, but we maintain these relationships and they know that we'll perform. So that's what you have to do, is you have to be in front of these brokers, and you're going to be scared to do it. But so many people who have been trying to do this for 2-3 years, I see them again and I say, hey, you know, how's it going? Like, oh, I haven't had any luck yet. I say, how many brokers have you talked to or toured? Oh, none. It's like, well, then what are you really doing? You know what I mean? You have to talk to, and I know it's scary, but that's what you have to do. The brokers run every market. Okay. Right. You can do direct mailers. You might get lucky. I'm not saying it can't work. We've never done it. It's all been brokers that they run the market. So you have to build those relationships.
Man, I love it. Zach, you've dropped a lot of really, really valuable information today of just, yeah, again, you guys have had meteoric growth in a short time frame. I love it. Love everything you've shared. If you're listening, this has been absolute gold. So thank you for taking the time out of what I know is already a very busy day to come on and really just pull back the curtains on your business and tell us how it's done. So thanks for doing that. Let's jump here into actually the final question, which is, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, thanks so much, Sam, for having me on. Really appreciate it, man. And thank you, everybody, for listening. So you can go to our website, rise48equity.com, RISE48equity.com. You can shoot me an email, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at rise48equity.com. If you're interested in learning about our opportunities or investing, you can go to our website and actually set up a call with me, and I'm happy to get on a call and help however I can and answer any questions. But yeah, that's how you guys can get in contact with us.
Awesome. Zach, thank you again. Do appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.